Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Mac, and you are listening to Mac's Musings. Yes, I know it's odd for you to hear me say good morning, but this is the time that my guest had available to do the show. So I will be calling him in just a moment here. His name is Dave Bailey, and many of you probably know him. So hopefully this won't take too long.
Hello?
Hello, Dave.
Yeah.
This is Mac. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine. And that means we're on the air, which is a good thing. Excuse me for just a moment. I have to clear my throat. Sorry about that.
No problem.
I'm just going to jump right in. When did you realize that you wanted to go into filmmaking?
I was probably, young. Used to watch all the old shows at night, like, you know, Moonlighting and Murder, She Wrote. And I would talk to my grandma every Sunday night and about Murder, She Wrote and what was going on. And so she rented us a camera. I think it was 1980, I'm going to date myself, but like 1987, for the Christmas week, she rented us a camera. And we did just a bunch of little skits and pretty much from there on. Pretty early age, yeah.
Yeah, well, you didn't date yourself too much because I'm a lot older than you. I'm 60, so I remember a lot of that old crap.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's, and talking to grandparents is always a good thing because they always have lots of good stories to tell about shows that they remember watching.
Well, it's interesting that you say that. My grandmother that I just talked about has passed away, but my grandfather is turning 97 this Sunday. And he tells the story of, you know, like when my grandma and grandpa went to see the movie MASH. And he also tells a story. It's pretty good. I'm probably going to butcher it. But he tells a story of that he and my grandma could go to the movies for under a dollar. But to do that, they had to get off at 10th Street because if they'd rode the bus the last five blocks to 15th Street, then they would have to pay $1.05 to go to the movies. But he said, you know, that's bus, that's eating food and popcorn and, you know, and the movie itself. So it's kind of funny. It's kind of funny. You know, AMC just did the rollback to 1920 film prices, and I wanted to get out. I was too busy. I wanted to get out and go so I could go tell my grandpa, hey, guess how much I just spent on a movie? 15 cents, you know. It's crazy. But yeah, he tells a lot of great stories about the World Wars. Yeah, well, the Second World War and the Korean War. So it's very interesting. I highly recommend anybody that hasn't really dove into talking to their grandparents about the past to do it, because it's fascinating. It really is.
Yeah, my father was in World War II. And now, granted, my father is older than most parents that, well, was, because he's no longer living. But when he was living, he was older than most people's parents that are my age, because he was 37 when I was born. So most of the people my age, their parents were like in their 20s. But he was a captain in the United States Army during World War II. But he was growing up during the Depression and going to what you were talking about going to the movies. They had a thing during the Depression that it didn't cost that much anyway to go to the movies. But if you didn't have any shoes, you'd get in for free. Because it was a thing that if you didn't have shoes, that you didn't have enough money. So all the kids would dump their shoes behind the theater and then go in and get into the movies for free. So my dad was a little bit of a thief. Well, I think, I always thought that was a funny one. So I'm going to start with what is the first one on IMDb anyway, and they my asthma's acting up, so just like ignore my scratchy voice. Excuse me. I'm going to start with the first one on IMDb anyway. Temptation Island, of course, that was a TV series back in 01, 02. And you were logger, transcriber. And so talk about that for a little bit.
Well, it's actually kind of interesting because it was right before September 11th that started. And so a lot of people that were looking for work and I wasn't. I worked like 2 years straight after that. So I was kind of on the flip side as far as work goes. But it's funny, I was in school in Florida and I was watching Temptation Island Part 1 and I was just thinking, this is terrible. This is going to be the downfall of America. And it just was really funny that the very first thing I worked on when I came out here was Temptation Island 2. Yeah. It was interesting, though, because through Temptation Island, my buddy Steve Agee, he got me the job over at the Osbournes. So I worked that show, and that was pretty cool because nobody had any idea that it was going to blow up like it did. And so it was very cool to be on that one. And then from there, I just kept going, you know.
Well, that's the thing when you start any type of a TV show, you never know. Because some of the times when you look at that and think, that's not going to go anywhere, and then it ends up blowing up. And then you have the opposite. You think, it's gonna really blow up, and then it blows out into nothing. So you never know.
No, you really don't.
Go ahead.
It's just had over the years a ton of those shows that you think are gonna go, think are not gonna go. I worked on the show Lifeline, and I went to YouTube Red, and we thought for sure it was going to get a second season, and we were just kind of disappointed it didn't, because it was like a time travel show, and it was one of the first scripted things that I had worked on, and I just really hoped that it gone like 20 seasons. My grandpa always says you got to get on a show that goes as long as Gunsmoke, 20 years.
Yeah, but Gunsmoke didn't know it would go that long either. So.
No, I know. You never know. I equate it to the people that started working on The Simpsons that are still working on it. My goodness, they've made a run of that, and The Simpsons run is just insane. It's amazing.
Well, yeah, the original Law and Order. Nobody expected it to last 20 years because they thought, it's a good show and, people like it, but they didn't expect it to go that long because they thought, it's just another cop show. And it lasted for 20 years. And now SVU is surpassing that because now it's in the 21st year. So
I don't think I've heard of the Law and Orders. I think every once in a while I've watched them, like after a football game is finished and stuff. But I had no idea they had gone 20 years. That's insane.
The original one started in 1990 and went to 2010.
Wow, I did not realize that. Jeez.
Yeah, and of course SVU is still on, and it's. I'm pretty sure it's the 21st year. I could be wrong. Because with COVID and everything being, pushed back, they're either still in the 21st or they're going into the 22nd, one or the other.
Yeah, well, with COVID, we're doing shows remotely now. It's kind of changed the industry a little bit. And I you have to be honest, I don't think it's going to go back. I think when things are clear, people are just going to be working remotely from home anyway.
I think that that's going to be maybe not everybody, of course, because not everybody's doing the same thing right now. But in the future, I think that there will be quite a bit of that, because even though it may get better, it will get better. It will get better, But it's never going to go away entirely. And especially the way people don't wear their masks and all of that, and they don't practice social distancing, that's one thing that's going to make sure that it never goes away, is people doing that. So I always tell people, make sure you wear your mask. It's not that big of a deal. It's not an infringement on your rights. I don't know where people got that from. Anything that's for the general public safety is not an infringement on your rights. I have asthma, and I can wear that mask. It does not cut off your oxygen. That is a crock of bull. Because if it cut off your oxygen, then the doctors that are doing a surgery on you would not be wearing them, because they need to breathe as they're doing your surgery. So some of these people that are gung-ho about not wearing their masks, I just say, well, that's fine. Just make sure that the next time you have surgery done, that you tell your doctors not to wear their masks, because it doesn't do any good anyway, so why should they bother wearing them? Make sure that you do that. And I want pictures and everything, and until you do that, I don't want to hear any more about it. And you know that shuts people up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry, didn't mean to go off on that. So I did want to go to this next one. For one thing, I like the title, Night of the Not-So-Living Dead Guy. That was a short, and you acted in it, produced it, and you wrote it. So tell us about that one.
Oh, so it's kind of a recall. So my cousin and I, actually, it was his original idea. He wrote the script and everything, and we did the a version of it when we were, you know, kind of growing up. And when I got to film school, I asked him if I could kind of rewrite it a little bit, because we had to write a short that we were going to shoot. And so I rewrote it, and it didn't get picked, but we finished. I went to film school in Florida for a year, and half an hour after I took my last exam, we were in a graveyard shooting that. And I was framing a shot, and I kind of looked over the dead guy's shoulder, and I'm like, what is that going on in the background? And I looked, and there was a funeral going on while we were shooting. I thought, oh my gosh, this is, you couldn't write this, you know. But they let us keep shooting, and so, yeah. I don't know, you know, some people say it's disrespectful. I personally think I would love to be buried in a graveyard and have my tombstone in some kind of iconic horror movie scene. I think it'd be awesome. So, you know.
Yeah, well, to each his own, because that's why you're supposed to ask. And
right,
you said, they said it was okay. So if the people who were there said that it was okay, well, then there's no problem with it. Obviously, the person wouldn't mind, because a lot of people don't believe in wakes. Because a wake, no matter what you call it, some people call it other things, celebration of life, whatever you want to call it, it's actually the same thing, no matter what you call it. That's where you have a party. And you dance and you sing and you tell jokes, because you're celebrating their life. Yes, you're mourning them, but you're doing it in a way where you talk about them and talk about the type of person they were, and you dance and you sing. And a lot of people don't believe in that, so they don't do that. Now, see, that I want that. I want people to be dancing and singing on my grave if they want to. I don't care.
Yeah, just tip a little beer and let it seep through let it get down to the casket.
Yeah, just save me some.
Yeah.
So that was cool, though, that they didn't mind. Now, in like 2005 to 2006, whatever, you did, now I picked this because I liked the Brady Bunch. My Fair Brady, you were assistant editor on, like, I don't know, something like 18 episodes. So what was it like working on that series?
Oh, I kind of forgot about that. It's, you know, it's so funny. You go back and you look at a resume and you're like, oh, I forgot about that show. I was at a company that was doing just a ton of those shows at the time, and so it was, we had a team of about 8 assistant editors, and we'd all be working on about, 2 or 3 shows at the time. But the company had like probably about 7 or 8 going. So it was kind of like what I remember from that is just more the camaraderie of all the night assistant editors and how they kind of taught me pretty much everything I know on that during that run there at that company. So specifically to like that show, I don't really have any big memories or anything, nothing juicy to tell. While I was at the, here's something funny. So that company did Rock of Love, and so my buddy and I were sitting in an edit bay one night. It was a Friday night, and we kind of have, the edit bays tend to be dark, and so we had the lights down and watching some footage going over the night because I was working the night crew, and he was kind of downloading me on what I needed to do that night. And a person comes and stands in the doorway and says, "Is this where the party is?" And I love this story because it's absolutely how I always would react. I said, "Hell yeah, it is," because that's just me. That's how I answer, And so the guy nods and he walks, turns and walks down, and then it dawned on me. I realized, I looked over to my buddy. I said, "That was Bret Michaels, wasn't it?" And he was like, "Yep." Yeah, because sometimes they come in and they check out the shows and the footage. I remember seeing Flavor Flav one time after we did the Osbournes. I turned a corner and I saw Bubbles, Michael Jackson's chimpanzee, was he had liked the show, and so he had let the Bubbles come in and kind of like as a congrats or something. There was one time I used to, we had like probably 26 edit bays, and there was big long hallway, and we'd have to run in and out just to, we'd usually be getting a lot of stuff done if we were working on 2 or 3 shows. And there was one time that I walked out. I used to walk very fast from bay to bay, and I walked out, and as I took a couple steps out of the office, I saw somebody in front of me, and I stopped real quick, and I started backing up. And as I started backing up and backing into the office, I saw that behind this person, where there was a big entourage, and I'm thinking, "Oh, okay." So I backed in, and then the person passed, and I realized that I would almost run right into Eva Longoria. And going full speed, yeah, that would not have been good. That would have been instant fire.
They may not have fired you. I think it probably would have depended on how she reacted. Because, like, if she didn't really care and she just laughed about it, probably nothing would have happened to you.
Right.
But now, if she would have threw a fit, then they probably would have fired you.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a klutz, so I'm shocked that I actually didn't. Which is funny.
That is a funny story. Well, in 2015, you did a little short called 15 that you directed, acted, and you were the editor. Tell us about that one.
That was actually, and I tell people this, that was it very well may be my favorite shoot, because I have my buddy Peter. He was in from Italy. We had met earlier in the year. We had done a short for a friend of ours, and we just kind of hit it off. And so a couple months later, he came in for about, I think it was about 6 weeks, and we did about 7 short films. And this one happened to be, it's kind of a a reboot of like Seven. And so the night before, I had been looking, like, we were just going to go up to a place that looked like Seven. Well, I did a little more research the night before, and I realized that they shot the final scene of Seven in Lancaster, which is 45 minutes away from me. And so I was like, "Oh my gosh, we got to go there, and that's where we're going to shoot." And so it was me, it was my buddy Peter, my buddy Drew, and my buddy Sam. And so it was just the coolest shoot, because there were no divas, There were no egos. We were just going up to shoot this really fun little thing. It was only a minute, but it was for the Shriekfest Film Festival. They do a commercial competition every year, and it was like the funnest thing. We just got there, and we were just like, the shoot went smooth, and you know, we're sitting here. I have a gun on him in the middle of Lancaster. There are people driving by, like, they see this stuff all the time. It was hilarious. Nobody ever stopped. Nobody ever asked if everybody was okay. It was just, you know, I mean, and maybe they thought we were, maybe they could see from our outfits that we were kind of recreating that scene. But yeah, it was one of the funnest shoots I think I've ever done. I just have great memories of that one.
Aw, well, that's good. I always like to hear those kinds of stories. I'm glad that you had such a nice experience on it. Now, in 2016, you did Shriek 16. Now, was that like a sequel to 15? You also directed and executive produced that.
That was not. It was for the Shriekfest Film Festival or Shriekfest Commercial Competition again. And so I always try to add the Shriek into the name. But what we did was, is that year we had it, we kind of played around, and I had the character of Carrie White trying to go to the Shriekfest Film Festival, and her mom's like yelling at her, and you know, you can't go to that festival. And then she's like, well, I told my friend Christine that I would go with her. And then so we have, you know, we actually found there are two remaining cars that were used in the actual movie Christine. So it's screen used, the one you see in this short. And it drives up obviously on its own. And then Carrie's mom's like, stop making that car drive. And Carrie's like, she can drive on her own, mom. So it was kind of cool, kind of playing around with Stephen King's world there and kind of have those characters interact with each other.
Oh, I'll bet. Yeah, well, excuse me, I need to clear my throat again. Now, I know you have some big news. Now, do you want to talk about that before we talk about the Clown Motel series of movies or after we talk about the Clown Motel series?
No. Anybody that's a fan of the movies, we should probably talk about the movies first. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Well, I mean, that's what I thought, but I'm not you, so I thought I would ask. Okay, so for those that aren't sure what's going on here, Dave did a series of movies called Clown Motel that started, now the first three, he acted in it, was editor and executive producer. It started with a short called Clown Motel. Then there was Clown Motel Spirits Arise. That went on to Clown Motel 2, which I believe is still filming. Excuse me. And then also still filming would be the fourth one, which he's the producer of, Clown Hotel, The Creation of Clown Motel. So go ahead and tell us about that entire series of films.
So it's, I have to rewind just slightly. There was one summer that I was completely bored, and I wanted to do something with my time. I was feeling like I wasn't getting enough projects done. And so I set up some GoPros in my apartment, and I shot this little short called Paranormal Cattivity. Cat, like C-A-T. So I have a black cat, and he basically was possessed. And it's kind of like paranormal activity, but it's like with a cat. So basically, and I would, it took a couple of weeks to shoot because there was everyone. So it started like this. I would be sleeping and my cat would take, and he would jump up on the counter and he would bat my glasses, just bat him around and then knock them on the ground. And so I would have trouble sleeping. So one night I was like, I want to record him doing this. So I set up my camera and I record, and he did it for like 20 minutes. But meanwhile, I'm sitting here, I have to fake like I'm sleeping. So he's doing it because he doesn't do it when I'm awake. So he does it for like 20 minutes, and I sped the footage up to look like Paranormal Activity. And it's really cool. Well, there was a noise. I think the shot that made the whole thing was there was a noise out in the hallway, and he was like looking really scared. And we never have noises in the hallway. He never looked scared like that. And I reached my hand over, grabbed my camera, hit record while I was pulling the camera up to shoot and focus. And I actually got him kind of looking out, spinning around, running into the other room, and then kind of popping his head out. And then I added like a demon voice to make it seem like he was scared. And it like he out-acts me in the movie. It's amazing. And then I was shooting for the final shot. I was trying to get him. We would do this thing where if I got under a blanket and I held my hand up to make a tunnel, he would dart at my face. And so I was trying to get that shot of like me hiding and then him darting, and it was going to be the last shot. But the sun was coming up, and so nothing was working. My phone was dying, and I grabbed my computer. I tried to shoot it, and I found out later that when he like I didn't see it at first, but when I looked at the footage, I pulled my hand up, there was a tunnel, the computer must have hit his eyes just right, so they glow and then they go away.
Uh-huh.
And it was like I used that as the last shot of the movie. Now, long story to get to where your question was, basically I took this to a couple film festivals, and I got into Fright Night in Louisville, Kentucky. So I flew in, and that's where Joe, the writer and director of Clown Motel and the EP, like it's like kind of his series, and I just kind of came along with it. But he was showing his movie Bloody Island there, and we just kind of met there and kind of hit it off, bonded, and he started talking about the Clown Motel like that weekend, and he was like, well, where do you live? I'm like, oh, North Hollywood. And he's like, really? I live in Burbank. So we wound up living maybe 15 minutes from each other, but we had to go to Louisville to meet, which was crazy. So after that, we shot the short pretty quickly and then started raising money for the feature. But like, so Ghost Adventures had been to the Clown Motel, and because the Clown Motel is real. Like, I tell a lot of people the Clown Motel, and they don't realize it's actually a real place. So Ghost Adventures had just been there. We had just done our short, and as we're trying to raise money for the feature, somebody named the Clown Motel the scariest motel in America. And so with all that publicity, we were able to get, raise money through Kickstarter and stuff to do the first movie. But here's a good story. So while we were shooting the short, our buddy would, like, I was rooming with the guy that was playing the clown, and he thought it was a funny idea to put the clown mask on and stand over my bed at 3 a.m. and kick me till I was awake. And it was pretty scary, I'm going to admit. Yeah. Waking up and seeing a clown standing over you. We did the feature. We went to like 14 countries worldwide. Apparently it played in Turkey for a weekend in like 47 theaters. So wow. It's been a really cool ride to see just how popular it's become. And I guess apparently two of our people came out to go to a premiere party the night we released the DVD. And so we had a, big party at a mansion with a bunch of people and stuff. And so two of our people got into an argument during that, and they're like going to small claims court. And so I guess apparently on October 28th, they're going to be on the Jerry Springer court show. And they're going to show a trailer of the Clown Motel during that episode.
I don't mean to laugh, but
I think it's hilarious.
Sometimes I watch that Jerry Springer Judge show, and so now I'll have to make sure I watch it, and then I can tell my housemate that I know these. Well, I don't know the people, but I know people that know those people. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh no. So yeah, it's we got the first one done. We got it out there, and then we, you know, it's been a while. But, well, you know, with the pandemic, we were supposed to shoot in June, and then we were going to shoot in August. And, well, yeah, we were supposed to shoot in May, then June, then August. And, you know, we eventually got everything, most stuff shot. We still have a couple scenes we have to do for this one coming up here. But I believe we just agreed to an April 17th release. So that is our game plan right now for the edit. Yeah, so April 17th, and then I think we're going to be possibly at a film festival the week after that, or a convention maybe, I'm not sure. but yeah, it's exciting. Yeah.
And so that Clown Hotel, that's more or less going to be like a documentary about everything that you did creating or help creating the Clown Motel and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, luckily I'm not editing that one because there's just going to be a ton of footage. But, you know, we weren't – you never – it's once again, you can never tell, like, a TV show if it's going to be good or bad. Well, you can never tell when the drama is going to happen. And we missed a bit of the drama as far as we're going to have to do some recreations because, like, literally 2 days before we were supposed to – leave, we have to go because the Clown Motel's in Tonopah, Nevada. It's like halfway between Vegas and Reno, so we had like a six and a half hour drive to get there. And 2 days before we were leaving, our RV that we were going to rent got in an accident, and so we couldn't use it. And so it's just like one of those things where, oh man, why were the cameras not rolling when we got that phone call? You know what I mean? There's
yeah.
just so much that goes on. It's crazy.
Well, yeah, you never know when something's going to happen. Just hopefully when you're making these Clown Motel movies, well, like you've already done the first two, but when you do any other ones, hopefully stuff won't happen like what's happened in some horror movies that they've made, you know, where people die and stuff. You don't.
Oh, yeah,
that
there's definitely none of these movies is worth any of that. None of these TV shows no shot is worth anybody, you know, losing that for sure.
Yeah. I don't think anything is any movie, TV show, anything like that isn't worth it. And, well, that's another thing, too, is a lot of people have a different take on that, like if the person does die, whether they should leave them in the movie or take them out of the movie and blah, blah, blah. Everybody's got their own take. But my thing is find out what that person wanted or find out from their family, which is what the filmmakers usually do. They usually go to
yeah.
the family and ask them. And then they find, most of the time, they find out, no, the family usually, not every time, but usually, they want that to stay in the film because, well, then otherwise they died for nothing. At least
right,
their
right,
death means
yeah.
something. You know.
Yeah, for sure.
So.
For sure.
Yeah, I didn't mean to, like, take up your time, but. Now, were you going to say anything else about the Clown Motel series?
You know, I think it's just with Clown Motel, I also play a clown called Golden Major, and I think it has been the absolute favorite character that I've ever played. There's just something about putting on that paint, and it just really, truly transforms you as a character, you as an actor, but it's almost not like you're not even acting anymore. Once that makeup is on, you're really that character. You're really in these scenes. You're in these moments. And it's just been a real amazing ride as far as that goes to play Golden Major. And, you know, to see that there's actually starting to be some fans that are kind of following and kind of appreciate is like pretty awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that always is when you make films, when you find that you actually have an audience and kind of like a cultish thing, because that's the kind of thing I've seen with the Clown Motel series of movies, is it's like a cultish thing, which there's nothing bad about that, because the cultish type people, they tell other people about it. So then eventually it's not just cultish. It's like, hey, this is a good film. We don't have to be in the cult to watch it. I know that sounds weird,
I tell
but
you
I know
something,
you know
though.
What I mean. Go ahead.
You just made my week. We can't say ourselves that it's a cult movie. We can't because we're biased. But to have somebody else say that it is a cult movie is just the highest honor you can have for a horror movie. That's amazing to me.
Well, you're welcome. But it actually is true. And but the reason why I went farther is to let people know you don't have to be in the cult to watch it and enjoy it. It's like with Star Trek or Star Wars. You don't have to be a big Trekkie or whatever they want to call the Star Wars people. They say fanboys, but women like it too. I love Star Wars. But I love Star Wars and I love Star Trek. But I don't go as far as some people, and that's what I call the cultish people, the ones that want to dress up like, you know, Spock or Klingons or whatever. And then with the Star Wars, we're dressing up like Luke and Leia and fighting with the lightsabers. That's what I call the cultish people. And you don't have to be in that cult to enjoy the movies. And that's the kind of thing
I
meant for Clown Motel. For people that didn't get what I was talking about.
We have one of our producers for Clown Motel 2 is a big Trekkie fan. He does he dresses up and stuff, and he's like, they do a lot of little fan films, so that's great. I actually have a pretty good Star Wars story, so a lot of people don't remember what the first movie they saw in the theater is, and I remembered walking home from it at one point in my life. I kind of don't anymore, but my mom took me to see Star Wars when I was 2.5 years old. That was my first movie in the theater. And she said, as I was walking home, that of all the easy names I could have been saying, like Luke, Leia, Han, you know, I was Obi-Wan Kenobi, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
That's adorable.
Yeah, so we actually have seen every single one of the original canon movies, all 9 of them, in the theater together, both of us, after that first time. For the second movie, for Empire Strikes Back, we went to see Darth Vader, and they were giving out pictures of Darth Vader. And on the back, for this mall that we went to, on the back of it, they were giving out, like, little prizes and stuff. And so our number was actually to go to the big theater and have free tickets to the big theaters, because we went to the Westwood Theater, which was like 2 blocks from our house, which is a very small theater. It's not in existence anymore, which is sad, but we got to go, my mom says, to the big theater. That was more expensive because we got the tickets. So after that, we just saw them all.
Aww. Well, before I get any hate mail, I just want to make sure that I say this. If there's nothing wrong with being in those cults, because I actually have a lot of friends that are in those Star Trek and Star Wars cults that do that kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with it. I'm just not in that cult. That's all. Nothing wrong
with
it.
Well, the whole thing is, it's without fans, you can't have a cult. Without a cult, you don't have a following. Without a following, you don't, you know, there's, first, there's no reason to do the movies, but also there's, you know, it's harder to get money. If producers don't see that you have a following, nowadays it's like they look at your Instagram numbers and stuff like that, and they're trying to analyze whether, you know, you can make money and stuff. And so to me, it really is, you just have to keep it true. It's we make these movies for the fans, and the fans are the only ones that matter. They really are. They really are.
Right. And that's actually the way that it kind of should be. I mean, maybe not 100%, but at least for the most part, because if it wasn't for the fans, you wouldn't have your second movie if you didn't have any fans of the first movie. So you better pay attention to your
I mean, you know, apparently we have a lot of fans out there because there's been a lot of illegal downloads. So that's, I mean, you know, you could look at that as a bad thing, or you could look at it like, okay, well, people know about it now, so, you know, maybe they'll come follow us or donate a little on the next movie, you know, help us make the next one, you know.
Yeah. Now, I'm not advocating stealing at all, because that's what piracy is. It's stealing. And
yeah.
I am not advocating that at all. However, if you've got somebody wanting to steal something of yours, then that means that it's something of great value. Otherwise, they wouldn't bother.
True. That is true. That is true.
And like I say, I am not advocating the stealing at all, because I don't care how much of value it is. That you should never steal, including movie stuff, because people work hard for that, and you're taking away from them.
And the other thing is too, is like budgets will fall if we're not making money to pay our bills. Well, I mean, I'm not even talking about rich money. I'm just talking about money to pay the electric bill. You know, if we're not doing that,
right,
then we're going to have to go find another day job, and we're not going to be able to create the movie that you just watched and loved. So that's the other thing about it too.
Yeah.
Because a lot
exactly.
of people are willing to go above and beyond and put extra time in or work a little bit harder if they're not, you know, but they, you know, you just want to be appreciated. So, you know, I found like when you're on a film set, one of the best things you can do is give people a warm meal. Like if people have food in their stomach, they're definitely like happier, you know?
Well, yeah, and in the indie filmmaking business, it's a lot like having a painting party where they know you can't afford to pay them for helping you paint your house, so you have, like, you know, pizza and beer and maybe some popcorn and maybe play a couple of movies on the TV when you're all done, and that's their quote-unquote payment, and it kind of works the same way in the indie film business, where you find out what it is that they're willing to take, whether it's a meal and you know, whatever, maybe credit on the film, because sometimes they get credit for stuff that they didn't even do because it's like a thank you for being there.
Right,
so,
right.
I understand all that, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, now that we've got Clown Motel locked out, and we are down, well, actually, that's a good thing, because it is a very popular series, and people are looking forward to the ones that are coming out, because I know I am. But now we want to talk about this big news, because I'm sure everybody's like, well, there might not be anybody listening to the live show. I mean, I hope there is, and I never know. Unless they call in, I never know if there is or not. But whoever is going to listen now or to the recorded version, here is the big news that Mr. Dave Bailey has. Go ahead with your big news.
Right. So the Clown Motel has recently changed owners, like in the past year, and they're doing a bunch of themed rooms. They have like a Halloween themed room where there's Michael and Lori as clowns. They have an exorcist room where, you know, there's the exorcist there, the Pazuzu there with looking like more like a clown. They have like a Marilyn Monroe room, they have a president room, but they are actually about to add, and it may be there by Halloween, but they're going to dedicate a room to the characters from Clown Motel of Golden Ager and Gemma.
Oh, wow.
So I'm sure we're going to have like some kind of competition or some kind of thing where, you know, free pictures or something like that if you go take a selfie in that room, or, you know. So it's exciting. It's kind of cool, you know, to be the Clown Motel itself. People travel from around the world to come see. And so now this Clown Motel is going to have a room dedicated to our characters from the movie. So it's very cool.
Oh, that is very cool. And that's a very big deal.
And
now that's going to happen. Do you know approximately when that's going to happen?
I was actually in Goldfield, Nevada, which is 27 miles away from the Clown Motel. I was doing another movie, helping out a couple buddies, doing a movie called Obscura last week. And while I was there, I talked to the Clown Motel people, and all they need from me is to get them a couple pictures of the characters, and they said that they could probably put it in within a week. So I'm assuming, I'm gonna see if they can have it up by Halloween, because they are doing like a 3-night big thing. You know, they're gonna have like fog machines going and clowns running around, and you know, kind of a really big deal for Halloween. And I think they're already close to sold out, so somebody might already luckily get that room. Yeah.
Oh.
But it should be by the end of the month. Yeah.
Oh wow, that is really, really cool. And I hope they do. And the reason why I was asking is because, you know, the sooner, of course, the better. Because that, I'm sure. I mean, I'm not 100%, of course, because nobody can tell the future. But I would think that that would help you get money to help you with those next two, the Clown Motel 2 and the Clown Hotel. To finish them, that would help you get that money, because people will see that and go, "Ooh, yeah, I want to put money into this."
Yeah, and what's very cool about it is a lot of cross promotion. You know, the Clown Motel, we're obviously promoting, and we're going to promote that room. And then from their point of view, they're going to be like, "Hey, come be at this room," and you know, they're trying to get us to get shirts and some DVDs of the actual movie there, and so they can, you know, sell, you know, have some more of our actual Clown Motel stuff there, for people to come by, and are coming to see the motel for the movie itself. Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool, and I'm really happy for you. So I want to say on the air, congratulations! This is actually big and awesome news.
Thank you so much. And it's like I said, my co-producer knows, but this is the very first place that anybody's heard of it besides the inside circle.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll make sure that I advertise it that way. And if enough people, you know, hear the news and then they want to spread the news, because it is something that's very exciting. I mean, I can hardly wait. I actually now want to. I had heard about the Clown Motel. I'm one of the people that already knew about the Clown Motel long before I heard of your movie. But I had never been to that Clown Motel. Now I want to go to the Clown Motel.
That's awesome. And, you know, and it comes equipped with its own graveyard, like 10 feet from the entrance. So that graveyard is actually real.
Yeah, I know. Oh, excuse me. I need to clear my throat again. Well, we still have like a little over 11 minutes, so we can talk about maybe a couple other movies. That is, if you were done talking about what we were just talking about, if you're done, because I don't want to assume you're done.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fine.
Okay. Since you mentioned it, we might as well go ahead and talk about it now. This Obscura, you acted in that, and you also were the head assistant editor. So tell us about this film.
I actually really can't. That's like not my project, but I can't really talk about it.
I know with the new things that there's always something that you can't talk about. So I never know. And so I say that, and of course you can say, well, I can't talk about it. But I didn't know that you couldn't talk about it at all. Usually there's something.
Yeah, I just really haven't talked to them about what can be talked about and stuff like that. I will say this, like one of the directors is Joe Hahn, who he was our camera person for Clown Motel 1, and that's how we met him. So, and he brought some of the crew from Clown Motel over there too. It was a fun shoot. It was, like I said, it was in Goldfield, and they had me in kind of like away from everybody so that I could, like, you know, just kind of concentrate and work. I was doing the dailies for them. And one day I was going up to our base camp, and I walked down. We had like a long driveway, at this cabin, and I walked out and I saw something run by, and I was like, what the heck was that? So I got my phone out and I started recording, and then another one ran by. They have wild burrows there. And so I walked to the end of the driveway and I looked and watched down this long dirt road, and these burrows just ran about a quarter mile just full speed. And it was kind of the coolest thing. So for me, yeah, Obscura was a lot of just kind of being able to kind of chill out, do my job, and kind of relax and reflect on I learned a couple things about films that's there. Just again, the food thing is just so important. It's like so crazy, and they had such good food. It was so amazing, and a lot of great people on that set.
Oh, good. I'm sure that they don't mind you talking about the food.
Yeah. No, but it's
okay.
So with my mom, I told her that she couldn't come watch the Clown Motel Part 1 because there's just a couple things that, you know, I didn't think she would like. So with this one, she was like, well, is this something I can come see? And I was like, oh, yeah, you can come see this. It's definitely cool. I think they're going to do a Vegas premiere at some point. I guess it's all over Facebook, so I can say this. Robert Lazzardo is in it, and I guess she used to watch him on General Hospital, and so she was excited about that, you know.
Oh, well, that's cool. Now, I don't know if you can talk about this one, and if you can't, you can't. But, of course, since it's got Friday the 13th in the title, of course I've got to bring it up. Friday the 13th, Leah, it's a short. Are you allowed to talk about that one? You wrote it, but you may not be able to talk about it.
And I'm not really allowed to talk about that one.
Okay.
No.
Well, see, I keep picking ones that you can't talk about. Well, the main reason why I picked these is because they're newer, because I didn't want to just talk about your old stuff. Because, yes, I like to talk about the old stuff because it reminds people, oh, yeah, I remember seeing that, or, yeah, I want to see that. But you want to know about the new stuff. So
Most interesting thing is, like, whenever – I feel like whenever you go on and you're promoting, whenever you're talking to somebody about a project, heck, I go to so many premieres now with obviously not with COVID, but, like, I'm going to so many premieres because Clown Motel was crazy. Like, with the premiere, there were a lot of people that came in and watched the movie that we didn't realize at the time who they were, and now we know, and we're like, oh, my gosh, these are, like, you know, big names. And they're kind of supporting Clown Motel and supporting us. And I kind of forgot where I was going with that. But what were we just talking about before that? Oh, man.
How you can't talk about something.
Yeah. But it's just been kind of crazy how now we're kind of in that horror. Oh, yeah, that's what I was saying. It's like, so it's crazy how we're now in that horror realm, and now we're going to all these premieres and we're seeing all these people on a kind of a regular basis. And every time that you're at a premiere, the question is always, what's next? It could be your premiere, and people are like, what's next? What's next? What's coming? And that's just where we're at. We're, you know, we're a binge society now, and somebody could watch the movies on an entire actor's career in like a couple days and then be like, where's the next one? Where's the next one? And you're like, well, no, that was their entire career. You know what I mean? It's crazy. It's like,
right.
Which is, it's also very good. It's also amazing that, you know, people are like, what's happening in Clown Motel 4? What's happening in 5? How many are you going to do? You know, I always joke that if we get to 8, then it'll be Clown Motel 8, Golden Age's Fate, and we'll kill off the character. But I don't know if I could ever really do that. So, but that's kind of out of my hands as well. So since I'm not the writer. But.
Yeah, well, I think that when people want to talk about the new stuff, and I'm not just talking about myself, anybody, if they want to talk about your new stuff, that's actually a big compliment, because I know that a lot of people, and especially people that have been around for a while doing things, that a lot of times all people want to talk about is the old stuff. Well, I remember when you were on whatever, you know, whatever the old thing is, like General Hospital. Okay, yeah, I remember you were on General Hospital. And tell us all about General Hospital. Yeah, okay, I've only talked about it a zillion times.
Now, right.
The way that I worked that into my show, because I have had some pretty big name people on here, actually. And one of them was on a extremely well-known TV series. And she gets asked about that show all the time. So the way that I brought it up is I said, well, I could hardly have you on the show without talking about it at all. And so then I brought the show up. She talked about it. And then we moved on. I didn't center on that. And I've actually listened to other interviews with people that have had her on their shows. And that's all they want to talk about is that show.
Yeah.
She's done so many things since then, because she's a little older than me. And she's been in Hollywood that whole time. So it's like, you know, she's done tons and tons of stuff besides that TV show. And I was interested in hearing about the new stuff because she is a great actress and she's a great singer. So, of course, I wanted to talk about all that. Now, with you, I did some research, but I couldn't find out a lot of stuff about you, so I didn't know what to ask you. But if there was something that I knew about you, like, say, if you were a skydiver, I would have mentioned that and let you talk about skydiving. Because that's
not
the kind
yet,
of stuff people
not
are
yet.
Interested in.
I was supposed to go when I was 40, but I couldn't find anybody to go with. So now I'm 5 years
Aww.
Later going, okay, well, I got to find somebody soon to go skydive with.
I just use that as an example because she was a skydiver, and I just happened to know that.
Yeah.
And I actually got a compliment from the guest just before you. She said, wow, you really researched me. And I said, well, yeah, I mean, that's what I do. I do what I can. I can't always find some things, but I've actually surprised people with some of the stuff that I've asked them. Like, I've never had anybody ask me about that one before. That's what my guest Monday said.
You just reminded me. I forgot to say something about the Night of the Not So Living Dead guy. I at one point, you know, every once in a while, I will throw in my old movies and, you know, I'll Google and I'll just see if there's any mention or anything. Well, probably about, I don't know, about 10 years ago, I went in and I Googled and it came up that there's a book. I can't remember what the name of the book is. I think it's like some kind of zombie guide with 1,000 movies. And the guy had put Night of the Not So Living Dead guy in there in this book. And I was just like, that is the coolest thing in the world.
Oh, wow.
You know? And I didn't
that
even know
cool.
about it, you know? So, you know, it's those things. It's like, how many of those things are going on that, you know, and that's the thing. It's like at one point we did with Clown Motel, it was crazy. The last week before we did the premiere, we were trying to get the DCP ready, and it was, for some reason it just kept going and going and going. It didn't work. And then we had these two amazing people that finally got the DCP working. But the night before the premiere, I was so nervous that they asked me, hey, do you want to watch it? And it's like 12:30 in the morning, you know, and they're tired. They want to go home. And I was like, what do you mean watch it? And they said, well, do you want to test it out and watch it to make, you know, we know that you're pretty stressed. Do you want to watch? So I got my first movie that I ever edited, I got a private screening with three people. And it was it was a highlight of my career so far. It was one of the coolest things in the world to just see that the relief first that the movie was playing, there was no flicker, there was I hadn't done anything wrong, everything was great, but then to actually see it, because I, you know, you edit these things, you're not editing on a movie theater. So to actually finally see it up on a theater was just, it was just amazing. It was amazing. It was one of the greatest feelings.
Oh, good. I'm glad that you had that experience and that you remember it so fondly. And I don't mean to cut things short, but actually I'm not. It's just the end of the show, believe it or not. And
well, it was great talking to you for sure.
Yeah, same here. And the way that they work things, they usually give you like 2 minutes beyond the time. But after that, they'll cut you off even if you're in mid-sentence. So if there's anything that you want to say in closing, you can do that because we've got like maybe 15 seconds.
No, Ed, like I said, just thank you so much for the conversation. And head on out to the Clown Motel and get to the Golden Age room. Take us a selfie and leave it on the Clown Motel page.
Yeah, it'll be a long time before I do that, especially with COVID. But, yeah, I'm hoping to be able to do that. But for everybody listening, if you're able to, you do that by all means. Okay, thank you very much, Dave Bailey, and stay safe and have a good, I almost said night because I usually do night shows, but have a good afternoon.
You too. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.